Hey, everybody, it's Chris. Today's guest is Will Anglin, founder of Tension Climbing and a constant and deep thinker about this game, sport, pursuit, lifestyle, addiction, whatever that is climbing. Will is someone I always enjoy talking with, particularly off mic and just bouncing ideas around while exploring boulders. And we originally recorded this a few years ago as Tension Climbing was working with a climber and professor of data science named Christoph Riedel to develop Skillscape, which was basically an in-app algorithm written by Christoph that could sort of measure climbing skills over time and then direct climbers to boulders that would further their skill set rather than just reward their current skills. It sounded pretty brilliant, actually. And Skillscape ended up not working out, for now anyway, and I actually think this is simply because so many great innovative ideas happen before the technology is readily available. And unless you're Steve Jobs or Elon Musk or someone like that, it's just not financially feasible. So you have to wait for that technology to catch up and support your idea in a way that makes sense for both you and the consumer. I think Will and Christoph were just ahead of their time with this one, but it pained me a little to have to put this conversation on the shelf. So once we decided to focus on movement skills for a while, I dug it back out and re-listened and realized that we hit on several distinct ideas about learning to move as climbers, and I knew I could chop it up and turn it into something valuable. And it fits right into our new expert series. So when you hear this, that's me breaking in with an annotation of some sort. In this case, further thoughts that have been informed by my recent exploration and to set up the next clip. And this episode is one that our patrons got a few weeks ago. And for as little as $3, you can get 2 bonus episodes every month, board meetings, our conflicted series, and more. You can do that at patreon.com/powercompanypodcast, right there in your Apple feed, or in Spotify by searching for We Scream Like Eagles. Or you can just click the link right there in your show notes. All right, let's get into it. It's time to build. I've done a little bit of like squamishizing the rock shop and just putting up weird, random, low lip traverses everywhere. And, you know, but none of that stuff will ever get published. So
I love this. That's fun.
I do too. And I think that sort of leads us into what we're here to talk about anyway. Like, we both just go out and climb on everything. You know, that's one of my favorite things to do is just climb everything in an area.
Oh yeah.
And I do that because it's partly because it's really fun, partly because I recognize that building my skills as a climber is really, really important. Mm-hmm. And going out and just climbing on every established boulder you can find, making up boulders, imagining moves and linking them together, you know, all of that adds to this skill set. And we talk a lot about the skill set on this podcast and climbing in general.
Yeah, it's interesting, kind of the juxtaposition between being really picky, meaning like I'm going to go here and I want to do this thing. And then once I've done that, I'm out. I'm going to go somewhere else and pick something else.
Right.
And then,
which can be a really valuable tactic.
Yeah, totally. Like, and there's, you know, truly nothing wrong with that or really any, almost any way of going about it. But the, like, trying to do everything is a really interesting exercise as well. Mm-hmm. Like, when you don't pick it, typically, right, it's easy to pick because you can have all sorts of things in mind when you do pick. And usually you're picking something that, you know, you think is cool. It's aesthetic for some reason to you, or maybe it suits your style, or it's a grade you're trying to do, or so there are all sorts of reasons to pick something. But everything else, I think, is To me, that's really interesting.
I think we tend to like curate toward what we look good doing, what we're good at, what we can like be the best at in the room that day, you know, whatever that means.
Which is a natural thing.
Sure.
Like, why would you want to do something you're bad at?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of biologically what we're programmed to do, you know? It's a survival instinct, first and foremost.
Yeah. And I think, even just today, that Astro Boy, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It has the sharpest, most disgusting hold on it. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yes.
And the Rock Shop has some really nice holds, and this is just definitely not one of them.
Yeah.
But there's something interesting about, like, it is definitely not a climb that I would ever pick in the way we're talking about picking. But it's over there. And there's something interesting and just something I like about taking something that is gross and uncomfortable and definitely not what I want, but it's what is there, and figuring out how to change me to make that work and make it not feel heinous or as not heinous as I can.
Yeah.
And I learn a lot more doing that than I do climbing the thing that like feels good and the holds are nice and everything's where I want it to be. And
totally.
Then I smash it and like look good, flex on the top, like that kind of stuff. That's fun to do, but those are like the moments. Those are rare.
Yeah.
And in between is where like the things that make those things possible are everything else, is everything else, all those other boulders, all those other moves, and just learning how to make things work.
Yeah, I think that's the value in whether it's a new area or home area or whatever, and you're just doing all the random things you've avoided. You know, we very often we're often surprised, like, oh, this boulder's really good, even though I avoided it all this time. Or, oh, I actually can do this, even though I avoided it all this time, because I thought that I couldn't. Or,
yeah,
damn, I'm actually pretty good at this thing I thought I was pretty bad at. Or, I'm having a lot of fun learning this thing I actually am pretty bad at, you know? It's really easy to miss all those things, especially on like your own board. If you have your own board in your garage and you climb by yourself most of the time, you are almost always going to choose the things that you know and the things that you're good at.
Yeah, I think boards make it especially difficult because you can just sit there and swipe through the database and like something pops up and you're like, ooh, nice. Like that looks cool. And that's cool. It would be fun to climb that. But if the goal is like, I need to learn something or, you know, get better, when you're swiping through and you get those moments where you're like, oh, sick, that's exactly the boulder that you probably don't need to be doing.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I heard someone say once that when you walk into a room, like a yoga room, the people who are sitting in like full splits or full straddle are the people who don't need to be there. So if you listen to the Rob Gray Expert episodes that I put out recently, you heard about the concept of constraints and how certain constraints can render our usual solutions ineffective, forcing us to learn a new solution. And oftentimes, boulders and climbs in general do this for us. But unfortunately, we are the ones who are choosing the climbs, so we get to skip the ones that have a constraint we don't like. And actually, that's exactly why you should regularly engage in climbing all the things. Don't pay attention to the constraints you don't like, just do it anyway. If you lean more into that, you'll learn more from it. And I also think we should engage in doing these climbs two different ways. One, finding a way to compensate and get around that constraint that we don't like, and the other, leaning into that constraint and moving through it instead of around it. That's the best way to get this complete learning experience. And another thing here, we, and I mean we, the collective we, being climbers, podcasters, YouTubers, all of us, want to learn from pro climbers, particularly at the top levels. And something we might miss in trying to do their hangboard routines or using replicas or any of the other training activities they engage in is this. The top climbers don't actually have a ton of things to choose from. They don't have 40 V17s in the boulder field or 10 different 15Cs at the crag to choose from. Instead, if they want to test themselves against a certain grade, which is what signifies improvement to most of us, they have to go and try the two or three of them that exist. And since many pros have different skill sets and strengths and weaknesses and are doing hard climbs that have different requirements and different constraints, then all of the other top pros, in order to do those climbs, are asked to level up some skill. This is how they keep getting better. Well, it's one of the ways they keep getting better. It isn't their three times a year hangboard routine. It's that they climb all the things, including the uncomfortable things that feel harder than they should, that force them to learn something new. And you should do this too, because frankly, the further we get from the top level of climbing, the more choices we have, the easier it is to cherry pick the things that are really comfortable for us. And if you want to hear a great episode about this exact idea, search for Carrie Scott, Ambition, Confidence, and Climbing All the Things, or you'll find that link right there in your show notes.
One of the biggest things that I mean, I don't really coach anymore, but one of the biggest things that I emphasize in my coaching is, climbing is the thing. It's the thing we're trying to do, and it should make up the bulk of the training that we're doing if it's at all available.
Yeah.
Because the movement is so important. And typically when you're like as a coach, or if you've been a coach, you've probably said this. If you are a climber of any amount of time, someone has probably said this to you. They're like, oh, just climb.
Yeah.
It's like the most cliche thing to hear or say in climbing. It's like, oh, you want to get better at climbing? Just climb. And it's very true, just climb. Like, you need to be climbing, but it's the next question that is really interesting, and that's climb what? Like, yeah. What do I need to climb? And for every individual person, that's different. And to some extent, it's actually better if you don't know exactly what it is supposed to be teaching you. If you just engage with those climbs and are like, all right, these are the climbs, I'm going to work on them and try and do them. If someone tells you what you're supposed to learn,
right,
it sort of taints that process, and you start focusing more on that than just engaging in
right
the actual
you're just
activity.
Studying the cheat sheet for the test.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. You too much direction is not good either.
One of my coaching principles is to put the onus onto the climber. Like, I'm not trying to hand you these steps to do this thing. You know, I'm not giving you the beta. I want you to figure this stuff out for yourself. I don't want to steal that struggle from you. So even if it's going to take us a year of me just asking you questions and you getting frustrated that I'm not handing you answers, for me, that's better. So I want you to be putting in the work, being intentional, and building the awareness to understand what's happening here instead of me just having to feed it to you.
Because you're helping them learn how to learn.
Right, exactly.
If you help someone learn how to do that thing, then yeah, they learn how to do a thing.
Right.
But as soon as you're not there over the shoulder being like, do this, do that, here's how this works, then folks start to flounder. And that's really, like, I think that's something that coaches can do, you know, on accident, that's actually a disservice to the client. Like, if you take that from them, if you take the struggle from them.
I think it's a, I mean, I don't want to go too far off topic here, but as a coach, we want to like give people these moments where they like learned a thing, you know?
Well, you want people to succeed, right?
Right.
And you want them to like be happy and like have a good time. So,
right. But in reality, learning is this like constantly evolving forever process. Like you don't check a box that says I learned climbing.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't happen that way.
Well, and you can unlearn just as well as you can learn. Yeah,
totally. Absolutely.
And you can't actually acquire all the skills. It's impossible. Skills that you haven't used or haven't expressed in a long time have essentially become unlearned, and you could pretty easily jump back in and level those up really quickly, but you're never like that skill acquisition is not like fully concrete.
Right.
It kind of ebbs and flows, and if you watch, I like to think of it's almost like a fingerprint at a certain point in time. That's kind of a snapshot of where that person is right then. And kind of understanding your progression in a different way that for some people might actually be really helpful, because it's not just grade,
right?
You know?
And certainly shouldn't be.
And certainly shouldn't be, yeah. I mean,
there's a lot in that 5 minutes of conversation. Number one, coach over instruction. Handing out the answers. I've harped on this a lot, so I won't go too deep into it here. But the point is, there's a massive amount of evidence to say that you'll learn better if you have to figure out the answer yourself or are guided into it, most effectively by constraints and feedback that leads you there. I discuss this at length and how to be better at giving effective feedback in my course, Coaching for Mastery. That link's there in your show notes too. And next is this idea of currency, keeping your skills current. Just like muscles, they'll atrophy if you aren't using them, but you can keep them maintained with very little effort. And climbing all the things does a pretty good job of this without having to turn it into some systematic thing that for some people takes the joy out of climbing. Nate and I discussed this idea of keeping your skills current through the lens of our own climbing back in 2021 on a Patreon episode. That link's there too. And maybe the bigger conversation here is how to objectively measure progress in a way other than grades. And Will and I talk a little more about that here because it's an important but sometimes frustrating conversation.
You know, just coming to terms with the fact, I mean, I've been working with climbers and coaching for a very long time. I think it's been 20 years now, which is fun.
Yeah.
And people, climbing is just it's a weird activity. It's difficult to tell when you're getting better.
Mm-hmm.
the one system in climbing that is supposed to, like, in theory, let you know when you're progressing, the grading system is all over the place.
Yeah.
It gets fuzzier the further you go along.
Yeah. I feel like every time I talk to somebody about this, I imagine, like, when we talk about going down a rabbit hole, we imagine it as being a funnel, but it's more like a funnel flipped upside down. Like, you get into grades in this little pinhole, and then the further you go down, the wider and more confusing and strange it gets.
Indeed. But that doesn't stop people from trying to make it as objective as they can. And it's,
right.
I mean, for grades, I feel like it's kind of futile. It's an interesting conversation to have. Like, I don't want to rip on grades too much. It's interesting.
Yeah. But I think they're a necessity. Some measurement system is a necessity.
Sure.
And this is what we have.
And it's, yeah, and it can be used productively, but it's no wonder why people really invest a lot in these things that are more concrete and objective, like hangboard scores or,
yeah,
you know, how heavy was the dumbbell? Because 5 pounds is 5 pounds. Because you really don't get that. You want it so bad in so many other aspects of climbing, and you just don't get it.
Yeah.
Outside of did you do the boulder or not?
Right. We want grades to be objective.
We want them to be, and they just aren't. Still useful, but to rely on that as, you know, did I progress or not? Grades don't do a good job. And so it's understandable that folks want and gravitate towards these things that are more objective, whether it's hangboard metrics or lifting, things that are very objective, and you can get 2 pounds stronger, 5 pounds stronger, and that is an improvement. It's easy to see. It's easy to track. But with climbing, that it's difficult to have that. And ultimately what I want is for people to have the tools to get better at climbing.
Yeah.
And if what people need to engage with climbing in a way that's productive is some way to chart that progress, bring some sort of objectivity into it, if it needs to be gamified a little bit, great.
I've left grades behind entirely in the machine shop. You know, it's one of the things I like the most about being in there is that there aren't grades attached to it. And I really love that you didn't try and define skill acquisition by grade. In my like search for a better grading system, which is always frustrating as hell, because it's so hard to measure something without measuring it, if that makes any sense. I looked at like the Japanese Don system, and even that system over the years has gotten more and more defined, and has been used by things other than martial arts, and sort of turned into this system that almost looks exactly like V grades.
Yeah.
So I haven't found anything that I love, but I've always just felt like we can't use the V grades to say this is how good a person is at climbing. We can say what they have climbed. We can't say how good they are at climbing.
Yeah. And as climbing becomes more of kind of a global activity and there's more kind of cross-pollination of ideas and stuff, things get more similar, until it's like, you know, the Waco and font grades, it's, besides there being more font grades on the lower end, like it's essentially just, it's the same thing.
Right.
It's just different letters and numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. My favorite I have a 3-grade system that I think works really well. It's the best grading system I've ever come across.
Okay.
Yeah, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Haven't tried it. Tried it and haven't done it. Done it.
I like it. That's pretty much what I'm falling into these days.
Every boulder problem exists in one of those 3 grades.
And it's a different scale for every person.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Now, I've spent an inordinate amount of time considering this, and while I have lots of options and lots of opinions, I just don't think there's anything that's going to be satisfactory if you want complete objectivity. It's just not going to happen, and you're going to be better off if you make peace with that. But that doesn't mean we can't want something a little more concrete. And if you want that, frankly, I think something that has more meaning than just grades is to simply start a list of the climbs below your top limit that felt a little too challenging for you. You expected one thing. What you got was a much bigger challenge. In the past, we've referred to these as vegetable boulders or vegetable climbs, because you have to eat your vegetables. and just start alternating those vegetable climbs with projects that really suit you. And as you check them off, count them as improvement challenges. That's exactly what they are. You could pretty easily give them labels or levels if you want to, based on how hard they feel to you. It's really just another way of grading, but taken out of the usual system of grading. So it might be a little more helpful. Or like Carrie did in that Climb All the Things episode I mentioned earlier, she made a diamond rather than a pyramid of things she wanted to climb. And this included a bunch of those lower grade but challenging climbs, and then she had to check them off to complete the whole thing, which is especially useful if you're motivated by checking boxes like, well, almost all of us are. Nate and I discussed other ways to measure progress back in 2021 as well. Again, links to that right there in your show notes. Next, Will and I talk about how leaning into these vegetable boulders, these uncomfortable things, isn't just for the sake of skills. And something else that has occurred to me throughout this conversation is that we very often talk about skills as if they're somehow separate from strength or power, and these, you know, physical things that we need to climb harder things. We act like those are separate from skill. But one of the questions we most often ask people who are talking about hangboarding is, are your fingers still getting stronger just from climbing? And if so, maybe don't add hangboarding in yet. Mm-hmm. You know, why complicate it? And especially a tool like the tension board is really going to, in my experience, promote grip strength.
Yeah.
In general. So these skills are going to be constantly promoting more grip strength. Whereas if we stick to what we're already good at, that's when our grip strength may not be improving from climbing by itself. Brilliant. The longer you can go without adding in hangboarding and other specific training, the better.
Yeah. I mean, I think I love all that. I mean, I think skill really is kind of the intersection of knowing what you need to do, knowing how to do it, and being physically
being
capable
to execute it.
Yeah, of actually executing it, and really, like, I mean, I like what you said about the finger strength and the hangboarding thing too, because, like, climbing is fucking hard.
Yeah.
It's like really hard.
Mm-hmm.
It is its own workout. And the thing, I mean, obviously I'm biased, but the thing that I like the most about the tension board is it exists in kind of a different place than the other boards, I think, on the spectrum. Like, it's somewhere in between hangboarding, campus boarding, and bouldering on a spray wall.
I agree.
It's not really the best board for, I want to go have maximum fun time.
Right.
It's aggressive. It's slippery. It's simple. You know, just the sheer fact that it's mirrored inherently limits the amount of different moves that you can do on the board. The holds are either like at a 90 or 45 degree angle. They're all very simple shapes. But something that I've found over the years is the more specific the, like, strength gain, the more difficult it is to, like, apply it over a broad set of skills.
Certainly.
So
the more pinpointed you get,
it's, you know, just going to work for that one thing.
Yeah.
And what I like about the tension board is, yes, it's basic, but you're getting very generally strong.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then you can go apply that specifically to a multitude of different situations. And it's super intense on the fingers. So you definitely, you don't want to have like 3-hour marathon sessions on it. But he, like when I'm doing a lot of tension boarding in my training, I cut almost all of my hangboarding out and I don't do any campusing.
Yeah. I actually, Nate and I are going to discuss this in an episode coming up, so I'm not going to go too deep into this right now, but I think the tension board is a better campus board than the campus board.
I agree. And campusing on it is sick as hell because it's mirrored, so you can always balance it out.
Yeah.
But it's more, I mean, it's a little more dimensional. It's still a flat plane, but you can move your body around in space more. It's a really good hangboard, you know? Yeah. Like it's the tension board is like the best hangboard and the best campus board.
And I the thing I like the most about climbing is climbing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all the training, it's not grades, it's not the reason I started doing it was to climb. You know, back to what you said in the very beginning of this conversation to kind of try to wrap this up is we often hear the advice, just climb. You know, we named a couple of our beginner proven plans, just climb more boulders, just climb more routes, kind of as a cheeky nod toward what we feel is a somewhat lazy piece of advice. Just mm-hmm. climb more. But most people should just be climbing more. They should just do it with some intention.
Sometimes what's challenging for you about vegetable climbs is going to be the movement, or you haven't mastered the positions to use those holds, and you'll have to level that up. And sometimes it's going to be that you just can't use the holds effectively because you aren't quite strong enough, or you can't yet create the tension required. And while there is a lot of rhetoric out there that you have to always be strength training in a really general way off the wall in order to get stronger, it's just not true. It might be more efficient to do it off the wall in many cases, and I recommend it, but it can be nearly as effective and a whole hell of a lot more fun and have other more useful lessons built in as well to do it on the wall, on this thing you want to climb. The point is, if you're challenging yourself to do the things that make you uncomfortable regularly over time, you're probably going to get stronger and more powerful, and you're going to get better at expressing that strength and power through movement. Another thing I found really interesting here, the tension board 2 wasn't out when Will and I recorded this conversation. So we were speaking specifically about the all-wood tension board 1. But back in 2020, Nate and I recorded a conversation called The Art of Learning Climbing, which I'll be rewinding to soon if it isn't already out when you get this. In that episode, Nate asked me what I thought the ultimate tool to learn and improve at climbing would be. And at first, I said a spray wall rather than a mirrored board. I like the spray wall better. But then I changed my mind that a giant mirrored spray wall would be even better, the ultimate tool. And tension built that. Honestly, I'm not sure that it gets better than the tension board too. It's a spray wall, it's a hangboard, it's a campus board, it's all of those things in a package that promotes mastery over success. It promotes learning movement while challenging your strength and your tension and your position and all of the things. And side note here, Tension is the sponsor for my other show, Written in Stone, and you can get 10% off of many of their training tools if you use the code STONE at tensionclimbing.com. While Skillscape ended up not working out, I hope they pursue something like it again in the future when the technology catches up in a way that makes sense. But until then, though, investing in good coaching, climbing all the things, and recognizing when you feel uncomfortable, and then exploring that space with intention, that's your best bet.
And if they don't understand that intention well enough to progress themselves, or they've spent so much time with that intention that they can't see outside of their own bias, which is the vast majority of us, then something like Skillscape can help them just climb more in the right way.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
I'll send that to you for a commercial.
Yeah, there you go. Send me an invoice. I like that.
Well, dude, I appreciate you sitting down and talking to me about this thing. It's been fun to watch tension grow and to watch, you know, the philosophies I know that you all hold come to life and be these things that we can all interact with. And I appreciate that it's there.
Thanks. I really appreciate that. And likewise, Power Company, you guys have really blown up.
It's fun to be growing alongside you all.
That's cool. Thanks.
All right. You can find Will at tensionclimbing.com. At the link in your show notes, you'll find all the things we mentioned, the great episode with Carrie Scott, patron episodes discussing these concepts, and more. We're already several episodes into a multi-month exploration of how we learn to better move as climbers across the podcast, YouTube, Instagram, blogs, everywhere. We're going deep. And I'll be collecting and connecting all of the dots in our newsletter, The Current. So if you aren't subscribed already, you can find that link right there in your show notes along with all the others. You'll also find a link to our movement practice resource page where we have curated rabbit holes for you to dive down so that together we can learn, grow, and excel. This time,